Jimmy, we could talk about games this week. We actually could talk about games this week. Oh my God. It's been so long. I don't know what to do. Michael, help me.
I guess we'll talk about that Nintendo Direct from last week.
Yes. So to give some clarification, there was no Ruby this week because of what's happening in Texas, which, oof.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, hopefully things get better over in Texas, so there's no Ruby this week. So we've been able to work it out where, we could talk about the Nintendo Direct. And oh boy, there's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because it was a big one. 15 minutes, I believe it was. And it was also, I mean, we did have Nintendo Directs in 2020, but they were much smaller, and they were all Nintendo Direct Minis or Partner Directs, which for a lot of people, that doesn't count. So this is the first quote-unquote proper Nintendo Direct we've had in, like, over a year.
Yeah. It's been a while coming, but oh boy, did they drop a lot of stuff on us.
And just like with every Nintendo Direct, people set their expectations way too high and got super mad when it was over.
But Michael, they promised us the Pokemon remakes. They never promised that.
What do you mean they didn't announce Metroid Prime 5?
What do you mean we didn't get more Bayonetta 3 stuff? Guys, they never promised any of these things. Stop it.
What do you mean we still don't have Final Fantasy VII Remake on the Switch?
I forgot people were actually asking for that on the Switch. Like,
oh, are they? You poor fools.
Like, guys, I love the remake. It was one of my favourite games of last year, but that game ain't going to run well on the Switch.
It's not even out on the Xbox yet. Like, calm down.
Or PC.
Anyway, we're already going wildly off topic.
Yeah, but honestly, speaking for me, like, I liked this Direct.
Yeah, I thought it was fine. I can understand why, as the first proper Nintendo Direct in every year, I can understand why some people were a little bit put out, because looking back, there weren't a lot of first-party announcements. It was mostly third-party stuff. And plus, I think with this being the Pokemon's 25th anniversary year, what anniversary is it for Zelda? I've lost track. It's 30th for Zelda as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is.
30th for Zelda. So I think a lot of people had a lot of hopes pinning on those and didn't really get them. But let's also not forget, it is only February.
Yeah, it's only February. I can get being put out a little bit by the Zelda stuff, but I guarantee it there's probably going to be more stuff coming in the year.
Definitely.
As for Pokemon, they kind of always beat on their own drum anyway, so I wouldn't be shocked if by the end of the next few weeks we'll get something Pokemon related.
I mean, Pokemon Day is in, at the time of recording, 4 days from now. Something's going to get announced this week.
I think there was a tweet that basically said, yeah, there's going to be something coming by the end of the week. So, who knows? So I won't be shocked. So we will get stuff, don't worry.
Enough about hypothetical Nintendo Directs. Let's talk about the actual Direct we got.
Indeed, and first may I say, how dare you, Nintendo, for making us think that we were getting Xenoblade 2 story stuff.
In hindsight, it was really obvious it was going to be a Smash reveal. Like, just, I won't go into it too much because that would massively spoil Xenoblade 2's ending, but looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, I don't know why I thought this was going to be, like, story DLC or some shit, but
in the moment, it was like, sitting there going, what?
And honestly, like, I know I said I thought the Direct was fine, but in my personal opinion, it peaked at this already.
This was definitely top two. I think this was number one, and there's one later on that's my number two. But
yeah, this was the one that got me hyped the most, because Pyra and Mithra from Xenoblade Chronicles 2 are the next DLC characters in Smash Brothers, which on one hand, I'm a little bit like, oh, poor Rex. You know, he's the main character, and you remember when Crom got punched out of the roster in the last game by Captain Falcon? I feel like the similar things happened here. But at the same time, I'm not even mad, because I love Xenoblade Chronicles. Pyra and Mithra are fantastic choices. They look really fun to play. The trailer was so cool. Like, as a Xenoblade fan, it just spoke to me. I'm like, yes, hook it to my veins, Sakurai.
Well, it was the bit at the end when she faces off against Shulk and they actually have a little bit of a dialogue to each other. It's like, oh, yes!
It just makes me want, like, I've seen some people suggest that Koei Tecmo make a Xenoblade Warriors game, and I'm like, yes, please.
Oh my god, actually being able to have both spoilers, but both sets of characters interact.
But Not much to really say about that. We're definitely going to get a Sakurai Presents on Pyro Mythra later on, but
yeah, because it's coming March this year.
Yeah. So I could probably spend the entire episode just talking about that trailer. I love it so much, but I won't because we haven't got the time. Too long didn't read. I'm super hype. They look really awesome. I hope Rex is playable in the next Smash game.
Probably. They did say they want to put more ARMS and Xenoblade 2 characters in the game, so I imagine the next one, Rex, will end up there eventually. Which would be nice.
I'm curious to see, because I remember Sakurai saying that Rex would have got in if Ultimate's roster hadn't been finalised before Xenoblade 2 came out. So I wonder why he changed his mind to go with Pyro and Mythra instead.
Maybe it's because of the costumes. Because I don't think... Did Pyro and Mythra have costumes? Like the Mii costumes.
Oh, no, they didn't. But I don't think that would have stopped Rex from getting in. I think maybe he just changed his mind, and maybe he'll explain it in the presentation he does.
I mean, at least unlike Crom, Rex does like get involved in quite a few bits.
Mate, Crom was part of Robin's final smash in Smash 4.
True, never mind. Yeah, but at least he didn't. He got punted by Captain Falcon. Rex didn't.
Yeah, Rex
didn't. Rex was just fanboying the whole time.
Rex didn't even get an invite. I wonder if that stings more.
You know what? Touche. After that, we then got Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout is coming to Switch.
That was actually another nice surprise. I've wanted Fall Guys on the Switch, like, since it came out. Well, that's because, like, looking at it, like, oh yeah, this actually looks really fun. But to me, it's the kind of game where, I don't know about you, James, but sometimes, like, I see a game like Fall Guys and I think that's perfect for when I'm just want to casually play something, like not fully concentrating while I'm catching up on like Let's Plays or podcasts or whatever. This would be perfect for me. So that's why I never tried it on the PS4 or PC. But now that it's on Switch, perfect. That works for me. I'd happily try it out. Plus, it's free to play, so I don't even need to pay any money for it.
Yeah, exactly. Can't complain there. I also feel like it'd be a good like one to like have a group of friends play. But isn't it just fully online and not couch play? I can't remember.
I think it is fully online. I don't think there's any couch multiplayer, which is a shame. But I feel like, as well, like just aesthetically, I always felt like Fall Guys was a perfect fit for Switch. And it is coming out on Xbox as well, so...
Yeah, fair enough. So everyone's getting it.
Yeah, which, you know, those were the two things people have been saying for months. Is Fall Guys ever coming to Switch and Xbox? And the answer is yes. Finally.
Ah, a proper competitive multiplayer game that everyone wants, unlike Destruction All-Stars.
Oof.
Yeah, I played that. That was... Oof.
I'm not even going to make fun of it. I'm just sad.
I'm sad because I was like, oh, what a great premise. Shame the game's not lived up to it. Anyway, moving on to Outer Worlds, which is coming to Switch this summer. Damn it!
Oh my god. You made the mistake, not me. Am I free? Oh. Has the curse been lifted?
You know what's hilarious? I even put it in here. Outer Wilds is coming to Switch this summer, not Outer Worlds that's already on the Switch. God damn it!
If I had, like, if I came across the genie of the lamp and they were like, Michael, I can grant you any one wish. Give Outer Worlds and Outer Wilds two completely different names. Please. Really? I'm a magical genie that can grant any wish and that's all you. Yes! Please!
Oh, god damn it. God damn you guys for having the same, near enough the same goddamn title.
And coming out within like the same year.
Yeah. It's coming out this summer. Sorry, I'm crying.
That's okay. If it makes you feel any better, I liked the joke you made when we were watching the direct together. Because it's when it got shown off, like the narrator was saying, like, what's he say? You've only got like 2 minutes.
Yes, 20 minutes, I think it is.
Yeah, you've only got 20 minutes to get off this planet. And then you were like, oh, okay, well, I've got the time. This Nintendo Direct's like 50 minutes.
I've only got a half hour left.
Yeah.
My mistakes aside, more people play Outer Wilds. I never played it. But if you want to give it a try, give it a try. After that, we got some re-releases from the Famicom. The Famicom Detective Club, The Missing Heir, and The Girl Who Stands Behind. Is that a joke? Shut up. They're both coming to the Switch.
Sorry, I was not expecting that. I don't know about you, James. I think, aside from Pyro in Smash, I think this was my number two announcement, actually.
My number two is... I'll say this is my third. Yeah. My second one is much later, but this was a nice one as well.
Because if I'm remembering correctly, like you said, these are games that released on the Famicom, which was which is meant to be another name for the NES. That's what it was called in Japan. But the thing is, though, these two games never released outside of Japan. So this is their this is their first time coming over into the West, and they're not even re-releases; they're full-on remakes.
Yeah, and they look damn good.
And it's like a two-in-one package, so that's two games. And yeah, it's visual novel, anime, mystery drama with, like, I think one of them is like you play as an amnesiac detective in a strange village. I think one's about a ghost.
What more can you ask for? It will definitely scratch that Danganronpa itch. Especially because Danganronpa's not on the Switch yet. Give it time.
We keep saying yet. I'm almost convinced maybe it's not going to happen. I feel like it would have happened by now.
We say that, but then Danganronpa 1 and 2 ended up on PC like years after. So never throw about. They might have a chance to get
there.
Yeah,
never say never. But yeah, these are Famicom Detective Club games. Look really interesting. I am definitely going to check them out when they come out.
Yeah, they're coming out 14th of May. So definitely keep your eyes out for these ones. I think they're definitely going to be good. After that, we then got Samurai Warriors 5. It's Dynasty Warriors, but set in Japan. And that's really all I know of it.
Yeah, I have nothing to say about this one. It's another Musou game. And don't get me wrong, more Musou games, the better. I really like this this type of game, but only when it's with characters I recognise, like Zelda or Persona.
Mm-hmm. Like Age of Calamity and Persona 5 Scramble, if you weren't getting what we're meaning. I think I own one of them. I think I might own Samurai Warriors 4 for PS4, but that was years ago. Like, I literally don't remember it. But hey, if you're into Samurai Warriors, well, guess what? You got a whole new one coming this summer.
Do we know if it's releasing on other platforms as well? Because this can't be a Switch exclusive, can it?
Good question. Let me have a quick look. I know that...
Wait a second. We have Google.
Exactly. I know that... Fort was originally released on PS1 on others. Let me have a look. Yes, it is multi-platform.
Okay.
It is coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. So you can play on your PS5 if you have one as well.
Who has a PS5?
I do.
I don't think you do. I don't ever say I've seen it. I don't think anybody actually owns a PS5. I think everyone just pretends they do, and they're too embarrassed to admit they don't.
It's a figment of everyone's imagination.
Yeah.
Oh... It's like, you know, the bit, I believe in fairies from Peter Pan. It's, I believe in the PS5.
Yeah, if we all clap our hands, believe.
Everyone will get a PS5. Samurai Warriors 5 is coming this summer. After that, we got another re-release. Get used to this. There's quite a lot of these re-releases and remasters. Legend of Mana from 1999, I believe.
Yes. And
God, this, I was 10.
This isn't like a... remake like Trials of Mana was from last year. I think this is straight up like a HD re-release, and it just ups the visuals a bit.
Yeah, I'm actually a little confession here, as much as like I've never really played the Mana games.
I own the remake of Trials of Mana because I tried the demo of it and I did quite enjoy what I played, and I also just really love it conceptually, but I think it's a very different game to what Secret of Mana right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very different game to what that's offering. So I don't think the two can really be compared. Though, actually, now I think about it, because Trials of Mana, it also like completely changed the battle system as well, which I remember a lot of people who liked the original weren't fond of, but that's a conversation for another time.
It's like me with Final Fantasy these days.
Yeah. Point is, the Mana series, I feel, has always been one of those lesser-known RPG series, so it's good to see that not only does Square Enix still remember it, but like they're trying to make it like more readily available.
Yeah.
Same with like another Square, I think, I'm pretty sure it's a Square Enix RPG that we're going to get to later on in this episode.
Yes, because I've got things to talk about that one. Oh, yes. The Legend of Mana remake is coming, HD re-release is coming 24th of June this year. After that, we got more Monster Hunter Rise stuff. Yep, still looks good. Grappling Hook! Still more of that.
That is definitely a Monster Hunter. I'm sure love how they're monstering those hunters.
You know nothing of Monster Hunter, do you, Michael?
I know some things. It's got, like, they have the woman from the Resident Evil movies in them. I feel like if he could, James would just reach through the internet and just grab me by the throat.
It's like the old Simpsons gag with Homer strangling Bart.
Just... Yeah. You do not mention the Monster Hunter movie in this house.
And you're like, I'm not even in your house. Doesn't matter. It's, yeah, what really to say about that one? It's just... No, we're not talking about the movie. We're talking about Monster Hunter Rise. Keep
yeah,
it,
no,
James.
Yeah, Rise looks good.
Monster Hunter Rise looks good. My only thing is, I wouldn't buy it on Switch. I know it's at the moment... Apparently it might get a PC release later down the line, maybe.
There is a quote-unquote rumour that it will release on PC, but as of right now, in terms of official news, it's a Switch exclusive.
Yeah. I don't think I'd get it on the Switch, just because those games are always internet-focused with their multiplayer, and Switch is better than previous Nintendo consoles, but still isn't great with the internet.
I mean... Capcom got Monster Hunter games working on the 3DS. And I'm not talking like the dinky spin-offs. I mean full-on Monster Hunter games on the 3DS.
That is true.
So, and I think like Rise is being made with like, you know, the Switch's capabilities in mind.
Fair. If, who knows, maybe eventually I'll give it a try.
Yeah, of course we will have to wait and see.
Oh yes. It's going March 26th, and it's also got a new Pro Controller and Switch console for it. It's a nice shiny golden black. I mean, the gold's shiny, the black's not, that'd be weird. But yes, it's both of those. It's nice. After that, we got the Mario Golf Super Rush. It's a golfing game.
I think this was neat. I mean, I'm not going to pick it up because I am not a golf fan. I think I do remember playing the N64 Mario Golf game years ago when I was very little, but aside from that... But it very much looks to me as if they're trying to do for the Mario Golf series what they did for the tennis games with Mario Tennis Aces. Which, you know, Mario Tennis Aces was a pretty solid tennis game, so I'm confident that this golfing game will do really well. I like the fact that it's got like a story campaign where you play as a Mii character, and it's got like RPG elements where you like upgrade like your stats, so that's really nice. I'm loving all like the new golfing outfits for the characters, except for Yoshi, which now just looks really weird. Why?
Give him golf clothes, you cowards!
Why is it naked?
That would cause quite a stir at the golfing club.
Like, even Bowser's decked up now. Like, it just seems weird that they didn't even give Yoshi, like a golfing hat or something. But...
Sorry, I'm now just imagining Bowser going, "You're embarrassing us, Yoshi." Yes.
Please, this is a sophisticated golfing club.
Put some clothes on. Yeah, if you're into golfing, I think it'll be right up your alley. I much prefer tennis, and I still don't even own the tennis game yet, so...
Well, I will say this, though. Oh, sorry.
You first.
Well, I was going to say, because they've got, like, this... They've got, like, a special Mario mode in this game, where it's... To me, it's because, like, the way it works is that instead of taking in turns, everyone golfs at the same time, and you actually got to run across the field...
Oh, yeah.
...using power-ups and stuff, and I'm just looking at it going, this is the closest we're ever going to get to a Mario Battle Royale. Oh, wait, no, we do have a Mario Battle Royale. It's called Super Mario 35.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, this is going to be the closest thing we'll get to a Mario Battle Royale that isn't going to be arbitrarily delisted from the stores.
Ah, good. Good one.
I saved it.
I mean, it still looks more interesting than the other Battle Royales that are later on this list.
Oh, boy.
Oh, looking at one in particular that I have special loathing for. that's coming out. Oh crap! I don't even know when it's coming out. It's coming out this year, maybe.
I want to say the summer.
Maybe, yes.
To Google.
The thing is, apparently, like this Nintendo Direct was meant to be like the first half of the year. Only problem is, it was a lie.
Yeah, what an utter lie.
Yeah, because there've been other games that are coming out later this year and also next year.
Yeah. So what the shit, Nintendo?
Do you think that was the plan and then they just went, oh sod it, just add these ones in too?
No, I don't even know. Anyway, Mario Golf Super Rush will release June 25th, at least in America. I'm assuming that will be the same as the UK as well. Point is June, it's summer.
It's a summer game. Perfect. After that, we got Tales from the Borderlands is coming to Switch, and I think it's also been re-released on PC as well.
Yeah, I think this is a case of, because don't forget, Telltale shut down, so and now they've sort of come back, so I guess this is like a part of their effort to sort of get all their games back on the systems, or at least the modern systems, I should say.
So yeah, it's now, it's instead of a shooter, it's now an adventure, point and click adventure game.
I still find it so funny. Like, I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show before, but our mutual friend Josh really likes Borderlands. James hates Borderlands. However, James does like Tales from the Borderlands, the one Borderlands game Josh hates.
Doesn't like. The thing is, I can't even tell you why I'd like it, because it's been so long since I played Tales from the Borderlands.
I don't even care. I just find that so funny.
Oh, the game's coming March 24th. Maybe I'll...
Sorry to interrupt, but can I also quickly add, because Tales from the Borderlands, I think, was leaked prior to this announcement.
Yes, it was, I think.
And the only reason I bring this up was because it was leaked at the same time as The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which is believed to be a re-release of the two Great Ace Attorney games that were Japan exclusive, like, when they first came out for the 3DS. And I was convinced these were going to be at the Direct, and they weren't, and I'm a tiny bit sad.
Maybe they'll be at the next Direct?
I think maybe Capcom will just... If they are... I have to keep telling... Even though there's evidence to suggest that they are happening, I keep telling myself, nope, don't believe it until we get an official announcement.
I feel like if we do get an announcement, it'll be alongside the Ace Attorney 7 game, which apparently is still happening.
Yeah, like I remember last year when people were saying, oh, Ace Attorney 7's in development. And I'm like, didn't they already confirm this years ago? Like,
am I just going mad?
Am I crazy, or am I just from another dimension?
Or both. Ah!
Anyway, that let's not talk about things that weren't at the Direct.
Let's talk about things that were.
Yeah, exactly.
After this, we then got Capcom Arcade Stadium. Hey, look, we've got a Capcom rep. Another one. Play 32 Capcom classics, including Ghouls and Ghosts, Strider and the like, with modern-day twists like rewinding gameplay, tweaking difficulties and more, and is available right now.
At your local game stores. Hang on a second.
Hang on a second, it's not here.
Where did we turn into an advertisement?
Especially as I have literally no interest in ever playing this.
I mean, it's cool, you know, I know a lot of people love I don't want to call them glory days, because that implies that Capcom isn't doing well now. It is, but yeah. Like, a lot of people like have a massive fondness for a lot of like those classic Capcom games. You know, the ones that don't really get new games nowadays, like Strider. Mm. And I was going to say Ghosts and Goblins, but that literally got a new release like this week.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's coming out in a couple of days.
Yeah, I say new release. I think it's just a remake of the original game, but still, it's a quote-unquote new Ghosts and Goblins game, so...
Don't question it. Don't question it.
I do have to quickly ask, James. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to expose you live on air, but I feel like we've missed an announcement. I don't know if you've got it written down or not. But
which one do you think we missed?
That Stubbs the Zombie game.
It is literally the one after this.
Oh, okay. Well, oh, now I've exposed myself live.
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
Now the egg is on my face.
To think that I forgot. I nearly forgot, admittedly. When I was literally watching, I was like, oh yeah, it's that game.
I just remember happening it much earlier in the Direct, but clearly I'm misremembering.
For those that don't know, it's another re-release. Stubbs the Zombie in Rebel Without a Pulse. It's apparently it's from the PS2 era.
This is what I thought was really funny, because they show this game off, and neither of us knew that it was a re-release of an old game.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this thing going, I mean, the concept seems fine, but ooh, these visuals, like, why does it look like an old Xbox game? And then I Googled it. Oh, it looks like an old Xbox game, because it is an old Xbox game.
It is literally just an old game. I've never heard of this one before. But...
neither have I, and I don't understand why this is getting a re-release on modern systems, because I think it is also coming to PS4 and Xbox One as well. But whatever, I saw people on my Twitter feed going, holy shit, Stubbs the Zombie's back! And I'm like, okay!
It has a fan base! Like, I feel like after knowing that it's a proper re-release, well, not proper, it is literally just a re-release. Well, I'm like, okay, I give the graphics a little bit of
Now that we know that it came from 2005, it's like, oh, okay, it gets a pass.
It's not like that Contra game that came out a year or so ago.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, that looked like crap and played like crap and was just ultimately crap.
Oof.
Oof, indeed. Stops the Zombies coming out March 16th, and that tells me either they've re-released it because they need to, like, oh, God, we got to keep the copyright on this thing, or there's plans for another game, maybe.
By the way,
who knows?
I'm not bitter that Stubbs the Zombie, whoever he is, has got a re-release, but Klonoa hasn't.
One day you'll get your Klonoa.
Am I going to get Stubbs the Zombie in Smash before Klonoa?
Oh my God, could you imagine?
I'd be so butt.
Either that or it's going to get like a Wii costume, a Mii costume even.
You know what? I'll take a Klonoa Mii costume at this point. If that's all I get, I'm like, I'll take it.
Not Klonoa. Stubbs the Zombie.
Oh, for Stubbs the Zombie.
Klonoa, he gets nothing.
I think I still would be mad.
Just twisting the knife even further.
Why do you hate me, Sakurai? Hey, I gave you Xenoblade 2 reps. Ah, you did, yeah.
Yeah, you did. You win this time. After that, we got the No More Heroes trailer.
Hey, more like an actual No More Heroes 3 trailer and a release date.
Yeah, it's coming August 27th.
You know what's crazy? Not crazy, but just really funny, is I think Matt McMuscles on YouTube, who's a big No More Heroes fan, I think August 27th is his birthday.
Oh!
Which is like, that is some cosmic influence going on right there.
I could just imagine him just tweeting that he's going to Nirvana, just like, oh, yes.
I'm actually, like, I tried the first No More Heroes game when it got re-released for the PS3, and it just really, I just didn't gel with it at all. But I'm very curious to see how No More Heroes 3 is received, because I remember the Travis Strikes Back game, I don't think that was received as well by fans, because it wasn't a traditional No More Heroes game. It was like a top-down action game or something.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember the discourse around that one. People were not happy.
Plus, it was like an interquel as well, and they also recast Travis, which was kind of sucky. Thankfully, I think Robin Atkin Downs is back for No More Heroes 3, which is like, yay!
Yay!
But
why would you get rid of him in the first place? I don't know.
But yeah, No More Heroes 3, rather than having Travis like ascending the ranks of like an assassin's board, now he's just fighting alien warlords that have arrived on Earth for some reason, which is definitely like an escalation that you expect from a sequel. But a part of me wonders if I can totally imagine the fans playing No More Heroes 3 and not liking it because they feel it would have drifted too far from why No More Heroes was popular to begin with. Because I remember... With No More Heroes 2, Travis became much more of a typical hero character, which I think some people weren't fond of, because they liked how in the first game he wasn't a hero, he was an absolute jackass loser. And I feel like with No More Heroes 3, I feel like it very much seems to set up as having Travis be much more of a cool superhero, which is kind of the antithesis of his character, but that's just from what I've heard. I'm just an outsider on this. Yes, my butt does hurt from sitting on the fence.
I have no skin in this game. I still haven't played any of the other games, so...
All I will say is that it looks incredible. I'm glad that it exists just for the No More Heroes fans, and I do find it very funny how in the trailer, like, Travis had some new gadget on, like, his glove that just looks like a pair of Joy-Cons.
Yeah, it does.
I'm like... Yes, I like that.
Nicely done. And as we said, it's coming August 27th, so you've not got long to go, guys.
Was not expecting a release date, I'm going to be honest. I was like, yeah.
I thought it'd be another trailer, like, coming this year, maybe.
Yeah, coming soon.
Yeah.
Coming maybe. I want, like, a trailer for a game. I want them to do that with Breath of the Wild 2. I know I'm jumping the gun a bit.
But well, coming maybe.
Coming maybe.
That's almost what's happening. Well, not almost. That is what's happening to Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2.
Oh, wow.
Coming, maybe.
Oh, I forgot about that. Oh, this wasn't in the direct. This is just news that happened today, as of the time of recording. And I do remember just seeing this news and just, oh, James. Oh, no.
Oh, I'm not sad. I'm not sad at all. Leave me alone.
Those are the tears of a liar.
Tears are both a liar, and we need to go on because we've still got two pages worth of games to get through.
Oh, Christ.
We're getting there. But yes, I am sad about Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2. Anyway, moving on. After this, we've got Steve Bloom in a trailer in a game called Neon White.
Which
looks like you're fighting in that place from Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, Skyride Kyle. Oh, no, not Skyride Kyle. The Final World.
The Final World, that's it. Visually, it looks really nice and stylish. At first, you think it may be like a shooter or like a very fast-paced like melee fighter, and then it's like, oh, you're using cards to do the combat with as well.
Yeah, it's like...
intriguing.
It's a cross between a first-person shooter and a deck builder, which, to be fair, when like it got like first appeared, my immediate gut reaction was, oh, is this like some other multiplayer battle royale bullshit? And so when it turned out it wasn't that at all, I was like, oh, okay, this actually looks really interesting now. Like,
yeah. exactly the same.
Yeah, and I think it's from Annapurna, which is like the same studio behind Donut County and Sayonara Wild Hearts. And I think they're also doing that Stray game, you know, with the cat, with the robots.
Oh, okay.
Annapurna seems to have become quite the darling over the years. Like, whenever like they get brought up, people are like, oh, Annapurna, oh, Sayonara Wild Hearts, oh, Donut County, oh. So, I like the fact that they have a very diverse library of games. Mm. So, I don't know if I'll check this out, but I will give it a gold star for innovation.
Mm. It just makes me want to find out more about Stray now as well.
Like, also if you were going to make me play a first-person shooter, I'd prefer it if it had some unique gimmick, like using cards.
Gun Cardo! Sword Cardo!
Yeah. Can I summon Dark Magician in this game? No. 0 out of 10.
I also thought visually looked like that Paradise Killer that came out last year as well.
Oh, yeah,
reminder, play more Paradise Killer.
Just write that down.
So I do have it. I played a bit. I was like, oh, this is really good. And then other stuff came out. I'm like, oh, no.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. Especially during this lockdown.
This game's great. Why aren't I playing it?
Yeah. Every goddamn time. This is coming up winter 2021. After that, Superhero Girls Team Power. It's the ladies from the DC lineup, but they've turned into school kids. Okay.
I get why people are mad about this one, because it's not really the kind of game you expect from a Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, though, you're not the target audience, guys. It's clearly not made for you.
I'm more just baffled by its look. I'm just there like, what is this?
The fact that it's got such a big dislike ratio on YouTube is both funny and sad.
I put full emphasis on the sad on that one. It's like, really, guys? Okay.
The thing is, though, it's not because they think it actually looks like a bad game. It's because they're just mad that Breath of the Wild 2 wasn't there, but this was.
It doesn't look like a Snyderverse movie, therefore it's bad.
It's not like Nintendo said, oh, here's DC Superhero Girls Team Power. By the way, we had to cancel Metro Prime 4 to make this.
God, could you imagine?
I mean, they wouldn't say that, but they also wouldn't do that to begin with anyway.
No, there's a reason why they'd never say that, because it will never happen.
Yeah.
These games won't get in the way of Metroid Prime 4 or Bayonetta 3 or Breath of the Wild 2. But people keep acting like it will.
Yeah. Point is, this game doesn't appeal to me, but I imagine if I was a fan of the cartoon, I would eat it up. I think the most surprising thing about it is the fact that it's not a multi-platform title. It is a Switch exclusive, and Nintendo's even publishing it.
Wait, hang on. Is this based on the TV show?
Oh, yeah. Did I not tell you this when we're watching the Direct? It's based on, like, the DC Superhero Girls cartoon.
Oh, I thought it was literally just a new premise. Okay.
Nope. The cartoon, I've not watched any of it, but I've seen clips of it. It's where that clip of Wonder Woman eating the ice cream comes from.
Oh, right. Okay. Happy for the fans in that case, then.
Yeah, I've seen some clips, and it seems like pretty funny, all things considered. And I think Lauren Faust is like responsible for it. Who, if you don't recognize the name, she's the reason why we've got My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic. So,
Fair enough. If you're fans of that, well, it's coming out June 4th, so you'll be getting it soon.
I want it to like get like 9 out of 10s from all the outlets. Turns out it's a super like underrated hidden classic.
It gets more sales than several Switch exclusives combined.
Just
mess with some heads. Just
marketing execs go, what do you mean outsold Mario Odyssey?
Just see marketing execs go, what? What do you mean it's sold? Oh. After that, we got Plants vs. Zombies Battle for Neighborville Complete Edition.
I have nothing to say about this one.
I do. Is this because of a player base drop? Is that the reason? Because this game's been out a while. Well, the thing is, it does look fun, and it is... Apparently, it was a good game. There was just one problem. It was full of microtransactions. And then you look, it's like, oh yeah, EA, that makes sense.
I'm pretty sure that's like so many games nowadays. Oh, the game's good, but it's got microtransactions in it. It's like,
yeah.
There's the butt.
We lost that war, didn't we? It's coming out 19th of March. I don't have anything else to say. Let's leave it there.
Yeah.
After that, Miitopia is getting a re-release.
Yeah, this was definitely a surprise. Like,
yeah,
I think I saw this one. I can't remember who said, but somebody sort of pointed out, okay, well, Nintendo's run out of Wii U games to port to the Switch to get it's got to move on to all the 3DS games now.
Meanwhile, I'm holding on to my Wind Waker HD going, how dare you re-release this too?
Well, several trusted publications have said that Twilight Princess and Wind Waker Switch ports are in the works, so...
I wouldn't be shocked after later on in this list, so...
Yeah, and again, Zelda's anniversary this year, it would make too much sense.
I'm going to be honest, I will buy that if that's the case, and it also means I get to say goodbye to the Wii U forever. Because that literally means everything that I owned on Wii U is now on Switch.
I think I won't get those Porsches out of principle, just to justify buying that bloody thing.
I will, because I'm going to actually play them. Who plays the Wii U these days?
My Wii U's still set up, at least I can like just keep going back to it, even with that bloody gamepad. Anyway, what were we talking about?
Miitopia.
That's right, Miitopia. I remember trying out a demo for this on the original 3DS. Mm. And it's like, conceptually, it's a fantastic idea. Like this just cute, silly comedy RPG. But all the characters are Miis that you've made. So you get to like fight the dark wizard Lee Everett from The Walking Dead. And like make a party of Gollum, Homer Simpson, your granddad.
Dio.
And Dio. Like, you know. If you can imagine it, like you can do it, and it's not just like a port either. Like they've actually properly, you know, done all the graphics up so that it, you know, it looks like a Switch game. It looks like it's got new features, like a horse that you can ride. I probably won't try it out because the big appeal of that kind of game is the making Miis and putting all these different like putting whatever characters you want in there, and I don't have the time or energy for that kind of thing. So,
you know what? That's more than fair. I don't think I'd get it either.
Like, I could just go with, like, some generic Miis, but then that's half the fun already lost.
I was about to say, that's losing the point entirely. But I don't think it actually had a release date either. It just said, it's coming out sometime. We don't know when, but it's coming.
Yeah, there's our coming out maybe.
There's our coming out. Coming out maybe. After that, we then got Animal Crossing is getting some Mario crossover stuff.
I think we already knew about this. It's like, to be expected. Mario, I mean, technically Mario's 35th anniversary is almost over, kind of.
When Nintendo says so.
Yeah, once we hit 31st of March, they'll kill Mario. Like,
just kill him there and there. Just be done with it.
Series over. See you guys in another 5 years.
Who will we kill next? That's Konami. What am I talking about? After that, we then got a reminder to get the new Bowser's Fury stuff. Later, Nintendo, later!
I am not buying it at full price. I bought the game on the Wii U originally, and the Bowser's Fury stuff, while very intriguing and apparently really good, is not enough to justify paying full price for the same game again.
Are you sure? Ah! After that, now here's my jam. Here's my number two.
Oh, I think I was thinking to myself earlier, what was he talking about? And then halfway through this episode, oh, now I remember.
Mm-hmm. It's essentially a spiritual successor to Final Fantasy Tactics made by the guys behind Octopath Traveler. And I'm just there going, yes, 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 yeah. Because at first we thought it was just Octopath Traveler 2.
And I'm so glad it wasn't, because I haven't finished Octopath Traveler yet. So I'm like, don't announce a sequel, please.
And then it turned out, oh no, it's a strategy opportunity. Is this tactics?
James is losing his mind as he's looking at this gameplay going, this is just Final Fantasy Tactics. I love Final Fantasy Tactics.
It's full of bullshit, but I love Final Fantasy Tactics. And I'm so glad that we are getting a spiritual successor, including a dark and gripping storyline and characters, the tactical gameplay we want. Speaking of which, I played the demo that came out with this as well, because the demo for this Project Triangle Strategy, we might need to workshop the name, has a demo now. It's coming out next year. And it's like, oh, great. Now I have a game next year that I'm really looking forward to. I'm going to be chomping at the bit to get. But, I played the demo. Demo's a lot of fun. They've turned the difficulty up, so if you are going to give it a go, be prepared for that. You will get to choose your own difficulty when you do play it, but at the moment it's at, I think it's highest. And, oh, there are moments where I'm like, bullshit, bullshit, damn it! Yeah, stop hurting my characters!
What a great way to advertise your game. Hey, try out our demo. By the way, it's bullshit and you can't beat it.
Oh no, you can beat it. I beat it on my first try, but that's also because I'm good at this shit.
Oh, look at me, I'm James. I'm great at strategy games.
It also helps that probably my favorite character from that is like this thief girl. She basically gets to do two actions in one turn, and I'm like, you saved my game, my run. Thank you so much. It's also more graphic than Octopath Traveler. Like there's moments where like people are getting sliced and like you see blood pool everywhere. There's one person who I think gets his head clean off, and he actually he falls into the river, and you just see his mask come up and like loads of blood start coming up. I'm like, ooh.
This game sounds hardcore. I mean, Octopath got pretty dark, even though I haven't beaten it yet. It gets pretty like dark at points, but not to that level. I think the thing is though, what they managed to do to get away with that though is because of the old 16-bit art style.
Mm-hmm.
So they can do like that kind of gory shit, but like because it's like, you know, it's not Mortal Kombat 11 or anything.
Oh god, no.
Like it's tasteful.
It's tasteful. They get around it. And it's just Final Fantasy Tactics, and I'm so happy about that, because I'm trying to remember, I think they did a Final Fantasy Tactics game for your phone, which kind of killed all inclination I wanted to play it.
That doesn't count.
That doesn't count, indeed. You can also play the original Final Fantasy Tactics on your phone. Apparently it's all right port. Hint, hint, people, play Final Fantasy Tactics, because please, Square, give us Final Fantasy Tactics, but this is fine.
I think this is Square, because this is a Square Enix published game, and yeah. It is, you know, I think we've already said it is the same team that made Octopath Traveler doing it. Like, you could tell just from the art style.
Hmm.
I'm personally not going to try it out, because I'm not a fan of strategy games. I remember, James, you asked me, why don't you like strategy games? And I think I've figured out an answer.
Uh-huh.
You know, because ultimately, strategy games are like chess. And in chess, you need to constantly be thinking 10 steps ahead, and my brain just can't handle that.
Fair.
When I try, because I played Fire Emblem, and when I try to think several steps in advance, I just can't make a decision. Because I'll be like, oh, but what if that happens? I can't do that then. Well, then I have to do this. But I can't do that, because what if this happens? So I can't handle it, but it's definitely a game that I would enjoy watching James play.
Hmm. Wait for 2022 to do just that.
Also, one last thing. I do agree, Project Triangle Strategy is a terrible name. And I look forward to them being, okay, its official name will be Isosceles Combat.
You know what? You joke, but this is Square Enix.
Because don't forget, Octopath Traveler, I think it was originally called Project Octopath, and we all went, what a silly name. They'll change that, right? And like, oh yeah, we changed it to Octopath Traveler. That's not a change!
That's not the change we thought of.
But then the game turned out to be really good, so it didn't matter.
Hmm. I think the thing I'm glad that it looks like they are, this one, all the characters are properly interacting and everything. That's probably my one criticism of Octopath Traveler, where it's kind of like, the characters don't really interact. They get moments of interaction, but it's not like proper character moments.
Yeah, and I get why they don't do it for Octopath, considering the nature of that game, but yeah, well, that was a very disappointing aspect.
So I'm glad that it looks like that's definitely not happening.
I'm also hoping that triangle strategy with its whole your consequences will have, I mean, your consequences will have actions? No, it's your actions will have consequences actually means something.
Yeah, because like you actually do have to make like moral decisions and everything. And it, I think one of them is literally giving up one of the main characters to the enemy. So I'm like, okay, if they actually go through with this, this could be interesting. Instead of just going, yes, we'll give it up to the enemy. No, you can't do that. Why? Because that's evil. Okay, I won't do it.
Or they do the Walking Dead thing where it's like, do you release this character or do you kill them? And you're like, well, I don't want to kill them. I will release them. And they get released and then are then immediately killed. So it's like, oh, so it didn't really matter, did it? No, it did matter because if you just killed him, then you would have killed him. But he still died anyway. It doesn't matter.
This all felt pointless. No, I'm still not butthurt over season 2 of Walking Dead. I didn't want that character to die, damn it.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on. After that, oh god, it's the disappointing ones.
Okay, and now we're in the disappointing phase.
Okay, first one. This one's not even the worst one. It's the next one after that. That's the worst one. But the first one is Star Wars Hunters. It was literally nothing. It was literally a trailer that said, oh, here's a Colosseum. That's it. And it says it's a competitive online multiplayer third person. It's a Fortnite clone.
So it's Star Wars Fortnite, which, by the way, Fortnite's already Star Wars Fortnite with how many Star Wars characters are in it. So what's even the point?
It's coming sometime this year. It's going to be free to play. Great. Another free to play to add to the pile of I don't want to play this.
Look, I know we're glad that other developers can use the Star Wars license now, but this isn't what we wanted.
This is what we asked for. And even worse, this is not the worst one. It's the one after this. It's Knockout City.
I think it's really sad how the most interesting thing about Knockout City was the framing device for its announcement trailer. Like, I'm not going to lie, the interviews with, like, the Call of Duty soldier, the World of Warcraft orc, and the 16-bit fairy prince, whatever she was, I'm like, this is actually, like, a tiny bit entertaining. And I thought, yeah. Oh, is this going to be the concept for this Battle Royale? Different, like, game genres, like, our characters from these different genres sort of clashing with each other? And then you see the game, and it's just, oh, no, that's not it at all. Like,
no, it's just, oh, no, it's their colours. Is that it? Yes. So we can't use any of the actual characters that would actually make this game look somewhat unique. Nope.
I can't have this lightning knockoff. Like
this whole thing looked like Raid Shadow Legends ad. I hope you realise the whole thing. I'm just there like, is this Raid Shadow Legends? Is it just getting ported to the Switch?
Oh, Raid Shadow Legends looks more interesting than this.
Exactly.
Like, here's the thing though with these kind of, like, because I think it's like it's a Battle Royale game, but I think it's like Battle Royale but Dodgeball or something. And, you know, I don't think that's been done before. But the thing is though, with these Battle Royale games, because it's such an oversaturated genre now, you know, it needs to, when a new Battle Royale gets made, it needs to, like, be, it's targeting two different audiences, people who already play Battle Royale games and people who don't play Battle Royale games. Now the problem there is that the people who already play Battle Royale games, if they're already knee deep in something like Fortnite or Apex Legends, why would they then switch over to this brand new one? Like, because I also refuse to believe that they've got the time to juggle multiple battle royales at once. I doubt they're going to be thinking, oh yeah, I can play Fortnite and Apex Legends and this new one. I don't believe that. And in regards to the other audience, the people who don't play battle royales, like me, if I already don't like battle royales or have no interest in playing one, why would I give your one a try?
Especially when you've got nothing unique to it.
Like, hey, remember Hyperscape? Trick answer, no you don't.
Genuine question, what was Hyperscape?
It was Ubisoft's Battle Royale.
Oh, Jesus!
You legit didn't remember it, did you?
No, I freely admit I didn't.
And there's a reason for that.
It was shit. Oh, God. Yeah, I think that's why this one is honestly worse than the other. Because these were Star Wars Hunters. I'm like, okay, don't care. But at least with that one, they didn't show anything, so I can't get angry too much. This one, I'm like, you showed something, and it was all generic. Especially when you already showed a much more interesting premise in your... showing all these characters are interacting and shit-talking each other. That would have been so cool!
I do actually love how the most, like, focus this bloody game's getting is people, like, loving the princess character, and are like, give her own game!
Yeah!
And I'm like, actually, you know, yeah, I'm with them. Like, she was the most fun thing about it. And she's not even in that game.
No, just hurt colours, apparently, and that's it. What is even the point?
I shouldn't even get this mad about it, but, like, I was like, it was one of those things I'm sort of like, you know what, this could be interesting. Oh, nope, no, it's not.
I think it's because it's probably the lowest point of this whole Direct as well.
Oh, easily.
Like, there is nothing worse than this. This is easily the worst one.
I'd sooner play that DC Superhero Girls game.
Oh, easily. At least that has, like, at least that has something going for it. This doesn't.
At least that's got Harley Quinn in it.
Yeah.
Does this game have Harley Quinn? No.
No.
Didn't think so.
We might add her later. That would require you sticking around long enough.
Anyway, let's move on.
Calling that. That's coming May 21st, if you give a shit. Anyway, after that, it's World Ends Club. So,
oh,
hey,
yes.
Guys.
Yes,
hey, guys.
Finally.
Imagine if the Killing Game for Danganronpa suddenly ended midway through the beginning chapter and we had to follow the adventures of all the characters leaving.
I'm still kind of mad that they gave that away in that trailer.
Same!
I feel like
why?
That's like a, I feel like that's meant to be like a major story twist, considering this is from the Danganronpa people. So, but I get the sense of the reason why they put it there is because this is how Chapter 1 probably ends, which I think is already... Actually, I think the whole game's on Apple Arcade, if I'm remembering correctly. So,
oh, is it?
I think so. I can't remember exactly. But the point is, ever since this game got announced, because it's from Tokyo Studios or Tokyo Games, which is the studio founded by the guy who made Zero Escape and the guy who made Danganronpa, which I love both those franchises to death. This is apparently like their last Killing Game style game. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they bow out, because I get the sense they're kind of like, you know what, we're done with these kind of games, with these kinds of stories. We want to do something else. And like, you know what, that's fair. So I'm
still calling
see...
this going to be another twist.
Oh, of course it's going to be another twist. But
turns out the Killing Game is still going on. Oh, God!
It's the fact that it's like, it's not even a visual novel anymore. Like, I say anymore, it's not part of an established series, but like, it looks to be like a 2D platformer action game, which is, okay, that's new. I can imagine this game being like, oh, like, I'll play it. So you'd be like, oh, how was World Club Parades? And I'll go, well, the gameplay was pretty air, but the story, oh my God.
Yep. That's exactly what I'm thinking. I'll definitely give it a try when it comes out. It's coming May 28th. We've got a release date and it's coming. I can't wait for the next twist. And then it goes, oh, but there is no twist. Oh. Can you imagine that? That they set up like, oh, no, the Killing Game's not happening. And you get to interact with all these characters. You get to enjoy being with them. And then the Killing Game begins again and they all die. That's where it gets you.
I think that it is meant to be like, it does have one of those, oh, you decide who lives and who dies kind of thing. So I think it is possible that depending on player actions, certain characters will live and some won't. So,
oh dear.
Which kind of harkens back actually to how Danganronpa was originally conceptualized. So,
oh yeah. Speaking of which, there is still another Danganronpa in development as well, just made by Spike Chunsoft as well.
Wait, is there?
I think so. I think they've said that they are working on something.
I don't know if it's explicitly like a new game, but I think because I remember reading, because like the guy who made Danganronpa has left Spike Chunsoft, but I think he has said he'd be open to coming back to make a new one, which is like, but doesn't confirm anything. Anyway, oh, okay. Please move on.
Anyway, after that, Hades. Hey, have you not played Hades? You should play Hades. Get the
I'm
physical
not buying
edition.
Hades!
Michael, you should play Hades!
I don't care! I know it's sacrilege. I know everyone and their mother loves this game to pieces. But no, if I wasn't going to buy it digitally... Actually, no, that's a lie. If I was going to buy Hades, I probably would have held out for a physical version. But the point is, like, I acknowledge that it's probably a fantastic game, but it's just not my cup of tea.
But you get a compendium, you get to oogle all the characters.
James, I will strangle you.
Oh,
I have these, if I just wanted to ogle the characters, I have deviant art for that.
Oh, it's coming March 19th if you want to get the physical copy. That's, you should play Hades. After that, hey guys, we actually got a collection of re-released games. It's just not the one people were hanging around for. I kid, but we're getting Ninja Gaiden 1, 2, and 3.
Oh,
is getting a collection. And I never played them because I think they were originally Xbox exclusives.
I think they initially released for Xbox, and then they'd have this thing where like a year later they'd get an upgraded version for PlayStation or something.
Ah, fair enough. I never played them, so this is one where I'm like, putting that down for later then.
Yeah, I think this got leaked like months ago, but nice to see it finally get announced properly.
Get announced properly, and it looks fun. Just hardcore ninja shenanigans.
It's going to be fun to see, like, reliving the Ninja Gaiden 3 discourse again. Cause
what was the discourse for 3?
Well, it's just people didn't like it.
Oh, fair enough. It's about 1, 2, and you.
Yeah. It's like, oh, 1's great. Oh, 2's fantastic. Oh, yeah, 3.
Oh, that's... I'm looking forward to that game reignited this coming June 10th. After that, Age of Calamity, we're getting a season pass. Available now, you get a weapon and costume for as a bonus if you do pre-order. It's going to be broken into 2 waves, which will be coming June and November, and we'll have new characters, weapon skills, and the like. Originally we were saying Robbie and Pura are going to be the first set of characters, but Michael, you said you had different feelings towards this.
I mean, I did have a theory, but we've only got 5 minutes, and we're really running out of time, and I forgot how long this direct was.
Oh yeah, shit. We'll talk about it after the show, maybe another time. But yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be them. Maybe we'll also get to play as the villain, maybe. Because Hyrule Warriors did that.
I'm kind of shocked it's getting DLC, but at the same time, I feel like I shouldn't be surprised because the original Hyrule Warriors game got a lot of DLC. But anyway, I just beat Age of Calamity at the time of this recording. So yes, more of this, please.
More of this. I will happily take more of this. And hopefully that means that maybe Persona 5 Strikers might get some more DLC later. Maybe.
I don't think it will.
Oh. After that, we then got like a quick showing of loads of other titles, including Bravely Default 2. I already ordered it, Nintendo! Ghouls and Ghost Resurrection, which is coming out in 2 days as a time of recording. 1 day after it goes out. Saga Frontier Remaster, which includes a whole new character and expanded stuff for another character, coming April 15th. And Apex Legends coming March the 9th. And then finally we come to the 2 big ones at the end.
Okay, good.
Firstly, as soon as they said... when they were talking about, oh, we know you want to hear news of Breath of the Wild 2, I'm like, you're not going to announce it, are you? And we were right. Apparently, it is still going at a good pace, but we're not going to hear anything as of yet. Maybe we'll hear stuff in the second direct or the one that will take over for E3. I think that'll probably be the same thing, admittedly.
Probably
about June time. But we are getting a Skyward Sword remaster.
This was rumoured for so long, and yeah, it's great, like, people get another chance to play it again. They have an option to play it with buttons and not motion controls, which was a big, like, you know, a lot of people really didn't like the motion controls for Skyward Sword. I am not liking the resurgence of the Skyward Sword discourse. I'm like, oh Christ. even as someone who thought the game was just fine, like, some people really don't like Skyward Swords.
Is it mainly just because of the controls?
I think it's a lot of things, but again, only 3 minutes. I don't have the time to unpack this.
Oh, fair enough. But I'm looking forward to it because I never played Skyward Sword. I'm assuming even if I played with the controls, I'm assuming the motion control for Joy-Con is much better than the motion control for Wii. Because the Wii one was not so great, especially with Skyward Sword.
Which is hilarious, considering it used Wii Motion Plus, which was deliberately designed to make it make Wii remote motions more one-to-one. So...
I'm assuming it's improved, and again, you can play by controller, so now it's fine.
Yeah, you don't even need to worry about the motion controls.
Unless you really want to play it that way, and that's your own fault. It's coming July 16th, and will also be coming with a set of fancy blue and gold Joy-Cons. I will definitely yoink those, provided scalpers don't beat me to it, but I look forward to giving Skyward Sword a proper go. That's the thing, if they do a re-release of... Twilight Princess as well, that's another one I'm looking forward to, because I think Twilight Princess I played the least. It's like, played the least of that, never played Skyward Sword, played the hell out of Wind Waker. So, yeah, I look forward to that. And then finally, Splatoon 3 Fallout Edition is coming.
Yeah, I don't think any of us was expecting Splatoon 3 to get announced.
Yeah, but to be fair, we didn't see much. We literally just saw the character and pet customization. Which is like, ah, that's nice.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's all they needed to show off. Just like, oh, by the way, here's Splatoon 3. Also, the world's got even more dystopian. Like, oh, okay.
Go on.
Look up Splatoon lore when you get the chance. It's wild.
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, you don't think on it too much. And then when you actually look, it's like, wow, this is messed up. Mm. It's like Pokemon, in a, like Pokemon, some of the Pokemon entries, it's like, Jesus!
I'd say it's more comparable to Kirby, but...
the most adorable little guy with the most hellish monsters.
But yeah, I don't know if I'm going to give Splatoon 3 a shot. I did get Splatoon 1 and 2, but I only ever played the single player, so I really don't think I was getting my money's worth.
Yeah.
I'm honestly, for me, I'm just very curious to see, why is the world now all deserty? Like, where have the hope? Where's like all the oceans gone? What's happened there? And also, who's going to be our new pop duo? Because, you know, we had Callie and Marie, we had Pearl and Marina. Are we going to get a new duo, or are like Callie and Marie going to come back?
Get all four of them.
Oh, they won't do that. That'd be too cool.
No, no, save that for Splatoon 4.
Splatoon Endgame.
All the portals open up, just paint comes out.
Yeah, but yeah, that's how they beat Thanos.
Oh, that's so dumb, and I love it. Anyway, yes, that's the Direct. We got there in the end. Just.
Just.
Oh. Damn,
let's wrap up.
Good.
Let's wrap up now, shall we?
Yeah. So, this is James Hall saying goodbye.
This is Michael Beckwith saying goodbye.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.